Parshas Mishpatim of all parshas is full of many mitzvahs we could discuss. Let's just take one of them, which I happened to discuss with some of the high school guys at Or Chaim this week, so it's on my mind anyways. One of the mitzvahs in this week's parsha is Midvar Sheker Tirchak, stay far away from telling a falsehood. And the issue I was dealing with the high school kids this week was, what are the limitations to that, right? We all know that lying is a bad thing. That's clear, but there are also exceptions that the Gemara carves out. Cases when you can or maybe even have to lie, and what are they and what do they imply about the nature of this mitzvah? So just to quickly go through the cases in the Gemara, the most famous limitation on this obligation is the Gemara in Yevamos Daf Samach Hayam and Beis, which the Gemara says, Mishanin Mipnei HaShalom. You're allowed to alter the truth for the purposes of peace. It's a machlokas amongst the poskim. There's a long tshuva in the Achel Yisrael by the previous chief rabbi Lau, not his son, the previous chief rabbi Lau, whether... And he surveys the poskim. Some of them think that means you are obligated to lie for the sake of peace. And from here, therefore, we derive that despite the prohibition to lie, peace is a higher value than truth. Other mefarshim saying, no, you are allowed to. Truth and peace are somewhat equivalent, and when the two come up against each other, you have the right to lie, but you don't have to. That's one Gemara. Second Gemara is Baba Metzia Daf Chav Gimel, where the Gemara says that Talmidei Chachamim Mishanin Milayu B'Shlosha Dvarim B'Mesechta B'Ushpuzaya U'Bipuraya. That goes on to the top of the next page. There are three things that Talmidei Chachamim are allowed to lie about. One is Mesechta, which the Rishonim understand to mean one of two things. Either when someone asks you, do you know all of these things, you're allowed to lie. And from here, the Meiri extrapolates that it is permitted to lie for the purpose of humility. Others understand the Gemara that when someone asks you, are you in the middle of this Mesechta, you're allowed to say no, so they don't ask you questions about it. So we'll leave that one aside for now. The second one, Ushpuzaya, the way it's understood by Rashi and Tosfos, is that if you are a guest at someone's house, and they were great hosts, and someone asked you, how was your stay at such and such a person's house? So you're allowed to not say he was bad, but you're allowed to say he was okay, if you know that by saying he was great, the people you're talking to are then going to immediately go to them and try to pressure them into having them as guests as well. It's going to cause an imposition on your host. So you're allowed to lie as well. And from here, the Meiri also extrapolates, as do other Rishonim, that it means that for certain sensitivities, to take care of people, to make sure that they are not taken advantage of, you're also allowed to lie. In the third Puraya, most of the Mefarshim understand, reference to bed. And they say what it means is that you're allowed to lie about your intimate life, and the Meiri derives from here, you're allowed to lie for the purposes of tzniut, which is also supported by an agadic statement in the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daf Kuv Zayin, which we can't get into in the moment. So that would put four values that one could potentially lie for: peace, humility, sensitivity to others, and privacy purposes for tzniut. And there are other Gemaras that relate to it, but those are the primary ones, which show that there are other values that at least compete and sometimes might even be more important than the value of truth. But even if this is the case, that you're allowed to lie under these circumstances, there may be limitations. And this comes from a Gemara in Yevamos, Daf Samach Gimel. The Gemara there has a discussion between some of the from one of the Amoraim and his sons. And the Gemara there... The Amora didn't have the world's best relationship with his wife, and she'd always try to do everything to annoy him. So every time he would say he wanted one type of soup, she would make the opposite. So once his son wanted to make shalom, so what he did was he lied and said, right, his father wanted lentil soup, so he said that he wanted vegetable soup, and lo and behold, she made lentil soup. And he said, well, what happened? He said, well, I lied. I flipped it around, and then, just to annoy you, she made what she thought you didn't want, and you did. And the Gemara says he didn't want this to happen. He said, this can't be. And it quotes the pasuk in the ninth parak of Yirmiyah, I don't want this to happen because Limdu l'shonam dabru sheker, because it teaches people to lie falsely. From here, the Marsha and others, Rosh Hashanah Zalman has a few pieces on this, or quoted by his Talmidim, suggest two limitations. One is that even when you're allowed to lie, you should avoid doing it in front of children, because they won't be able to distinguish between permitted lies and forbidden lies. And the second thing he says is that even if you're allowed to lie for the purposes of peace, you shouldn't make it the norm, right? You try to find other ways of maintaining the peace rather than lying. It shouldn't be your first option. So these are two of the limitations Rosh Shlomo Zalman puts on it. Specifically, Rosh Shlomo Zalman has an interesting heter. It's quoted in several of his Talmidim, that if someone comes to your house and asks if you're there and you don't actually have time to talk to them, and you know that if you just say, I'm too busy, either they will ignore you and will take up your time, or alternatively, they'll spend half hour apologizing for taking up your time. I understand, don't worry, I'll come back later. And they're going to take up your time. That way, you're allowed to have someone at the door lie and say he's not home. And Rosh Shlomo Zalman says, but he wouldn't let your kids do that, right? Have your wife lie for you, don't have your kids lie for you, because having your kids be the ones lying is going to teach them a bad lesson. They won't realize that these are extenuating circumstances. So again, just to summarize some of the limitations that exist are for the sake of peace, for humility, for sensitivity to others, for privacy purposes, and in some cases, for pragmatism, Rosh Shlomo Zalman seems to entertain it as well, but one should avoid it on a regular basis, and should avoid having children be the ones lying or seeing it, because they won't understand the nuances of the case. There are other Gemaras, and it's a little bit complicated. When I think of the sugya, I'll just mention the tshuva, we won't go into it. Someone asked the Ben Ishchai in Tshuvas Torah Lishma, Tshuvas Shin Samach Dalid, can you give me all the parameters of when you can lie and when you can't? He said, sure. And then it's a 30-page Tshuva which he lists every Gemara which implies that you can lie or you can't lie, and says, I'm sure you'll be able to figure it out yourself from all these Gemaras. I won't give you any guiding principles. So if you want to see a list of all the Gemaras that are relevant, you can look in that Tshuva. But those are the basic principles that come halacha l'maaseh.